Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Good morning. Before we get going, I do want to acknowledge, I thought it was so cool that Sumner High School won the... Yeah, y'all know what I was about to say anyway, so congratulations to you guys, and that's great. Let's open the Word of the Lord, Word of God this morning, and pray that it touches our hearts. Luke chapter 2, a familiar passage, a Christmas passage, as it were. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Then if you look at the screens, this is two different verses from John 14 and John 16. Jesus speaking. Jesus said these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Lord, let your word go deep within our hearts. Let it bring life change this morning in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Is anybody here amazed that Christmas is right around the corner? I mean, wow. And we're excited for our Christmas Eve services. We pray that you come and be a part of us. You know, it's sad when you think you know a laptop and you keep raising the volume instead of the brightness. And so, okay, here we go. I'm going to state some things you already know, you hear us talk about from time to time. It's about the current state of the world in which we are living, and I'm just kind of recapping what everybody already knows. But would you agree with the statement that sometimes in the world in which we live, peace seems like a rare commodity? It's rare, and it's almost a surprise sometimes when we actually experience peace. Anybody? It's almost a surprise. You turn on the news and all you get is conflict. You turn on social media and all you get is outrage. You talk to people and 9 times out of 10, there will be something raised about stress or anxiety or things that they're going through, something like that. If we were to look inside each and every person, the chances are we would find things like fear and worry and restlessness for something more. And then it's all amplified at Christmas time because this is supposed to be, I mean, who are we kidding? It's supposed to be a season of peace. It's supposed to be a time of peace, and that just seems to make it worse. If we were to take a survey, and we're not, but if I were to ask you, and we're not, in terms of lifting your hands, please, I cannot stress enough, don't lift your hands. But if I were to ask you how many of you are experiencing family tensions, how many of us in this room are experiencing financial pressures or health concerns for ourselves or a loved one? How many struggle with just all the cultural noise that just seems to be pounding at us day after day after day? And then for many in this room, you know, as joyous as Christmas can be, it can also be a time of grief because many of us have lost loved ones right around Christmas time. And no matter how joyous and fun it is, there's that person that's missing. And so we're living in a time where a culture that's hungry for peace but just can't seem to find it, can't nail it down. And into a world that's similar to our own, into a world that is similar, though it was 2,000 years ago, there comes a king. There comes a king. Not simply to talk about peace, not to simply promise it, but to bring peace. In fact, in point of fact, to be our peace today. You know, many years ago, I went through a season of teaching where it just boiled down to three things for me. What do I need people to know? What do we want people to feel? What do we want people to do? Those three things. And I'd like to follow that format once again this morning. I'd like to just talk about what do we need to know what do we need to feel and what do we need to do. And I'd like to personalize it for us this morning. I'd like to start with this first one of, you know, what do I need to know? What do we need to know? If this were my last message on peace, if this was your last time hearing a message on peace, what would you need to know out of that message today? What needs to be said? However much we love, and I'm going to start with this, however much we love the Christmas season or the idea of peace at Christmas, peace is more than a seasonal feeling. Can we just all agree on that? Peace is more than a seasonal feeling. It's much more than that. It's more than a Christmas carol singing about peace. It's more than, I've told you before, I like to sit at the Christmas tree, the fire's going, it's dark, I'm by myself, and I put on Christmas music, and I just love to sit there, and I love to experience peace in that moment. But it's more than that. It's more than those feelings that are generated, are caused by the Christmas season. But it's also more than simply the absence of trouble. It's more than simply the absence of conflict. Peace, above all else, is this one thing. And this, if you remember nothing else, please remember this. Peace above all else is the presence of the King. Peace above all else is the presence of the King. The Bible said this in Isaiah chapter 9, again, a familiar Christmas passage. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Of his peace, there will be no end. The Bible tells us that he is the Prince of Peace. Therefore, consequently, where he is, there is peace. Wherever Jesus is, there is peace. Now, I had a different example here, but yesterday I was just thinking about it, and the Lord used it to talk to one particular young man who came last night, a former fireman. I want you to imagine that there's something on fire, the house or whatever it is. It's burning out of control, and people much like me are yelling, they're panicking, they're stressed out, they're worried because they don't know how to put out the fire. They're not sure what to do, and the flames just tend to grow and grow and grow. And in the midst of that fire, you hear the sirens. And there's, if you will, a spark of peace because you hear the fire. You hear it. And you know that soon the fire trucks will show up. And they do. And out of those fire trucks pour out firemen who know exactly what to take care of. They understand what to do. And the atmosphere changes. The atmosphere changes because the firemen have showed up. They have showed up. They know what to do. And so here we are today. The fire, however, is still burning. Just because they show up, the fire's not out. The fire's still burning. The danger is still real. But it doesn't matter because you know that though the flames are high and though it's still burning, you know that the authority to take care of those flames has arisen. There's someone who's on the scene now who can handle the flames. Now, peace doesn't just come because the fire disappears. Peace has to come while the flames are still going. How many catch my point here? That in the midst of our world burning all around us, there comes a King and he has the authority. He is the one that in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of whatever's happening in my life and in your life, he has the authority and he has the power to bring us peace, to be our peace today. Peace comes with the arrival of the King. Jesus walks into our burning world and will say this, "Fear not, for I am with you." See, here's the thing. Peace is a person, not a condition. Peace is only peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of our circumstances. If this were my last message, I'd want you to know that this King who will arrive some 2,000 years ago was foretold some 1,800 to 400 years prior. That from Genesis on forward, the Bible speaks in the Old Testament that there will be one who will come who is arriving on the scene. It's foretelling the Messiah's arrival. From Genesis forward, it speaks of the Messiah, one who will bring salvation, and one who will bring hope, and one who will bring peace to you and I today. The prophet Micah in chapter 5 and verse 5 said, "And he will be our peace." Peace wasn't an afterthought with Jesus the Messiah. It was part of his messianic identity. It was who Jesus was. As Pastor Taylor talked last week, he is one who will bring hope. It's part of his identity. He is one who will bring peace to you and I today. It's who Jesus is. He is our peace today. I would want you to know that peace is announced at his birth. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Catch what the angels did not say. The angels did not say peace would come to us once those Romans were kicked out of Israel, out of Jerusalem. It's not what they said. The angels didn't proclaim that you would have peace once things got easier or when you feel better. No, no, no. Peace comes because the Savior has been born. He is our peace. That in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of whatever you're dealing with this morning, you can still, no matter how tough it might be, you can still have peace because the Bible says he is our peace today. Peace doesn't require the calming of the storm. It requires the presence of the King in the storm. Everyone's still awake. It doesn't require the calming of the storm. It requires the King in the midst of the storm. Peace comes, I would tell you, because the King makes peace with God. You may not know this morning, but our greatest need is peace with God. You say, well, Pastor Ray, you don't know my situation. I don't know your situation, but I know this. Our greatest need is peace with God. And the hard part about that is those of us in this room who are fixers, we want to take care of stuff, we want to get it done according to how we want it done. We can't fix it. We can't earn God's favor. We can't earn God's forgiveness on our best day. We don't deserve it. We can't ever gain God's approval in and of ourselves. However, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. We may not know it, but our greatest need that we have is peace with God, and Jesus provides that by his coming, by his death, and by his resurrection. That wall separating us between ourselves and the Father is now broken down because Jesus died and rose again, and the relationship is restored. Because of the atonement that Jesus Christ gives to each of us, we have peace with God. And out of that peace with God flows all the rest of the peace you're ever going to need. Once we have peace with God, all of the peace that we need is found there. Peace is also Christ's gift to his people. The Bible tells us in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Listen to the words of Jesus this morning, just for you. He said, my peace I give to you. Not the peace of escape, not the peace of denial, not the peace of the power of positive thinking. It was the peace that only Jesus can give. It's the peace that sustained him in the storm out on the Sea of Galilee when all the disciples are scared and running a little crazy. And Jesus wakes up and he turns to the storm and he says, quiet down. Well, he didn't say that. He said, peace be still. But you know what I mean. Quiet down. It was peace in the midst of the storm. It was the peace that when betrayal was near, when one of his closest friends was going to betray him, it was the peace that sustained him. It was the peace that as Jesus was squarely facing the cross and it was coming quickly, it was the peace that got him through. Jesus wasn't immune from suffering, but he was anchored through it. Neither are we immune from it, but we can be anchored through it. What was Jesus anchored to? Jesus was anchored to the Father. He was anchored to his heavenly Father. He was anchored to his mission. He was anchored to his purpose. He was anchored to his identity. Jesus knew who he was. And that gave him an anchor for his soul. He was anchored in the confidence that he had, not in the world around him, but in the confidence and the trust he had in his heavenly Father. It begs the question today for you and me, right here in this room, with all of the things that the enemy of your soul wants to make you think about right now, this is the question that demands an answer. Who are you anchored to this morning? What is the anchor of my soul? What is the anchor of your soul? When we're facing stuff, I look out in this room and my heart breaks because I know some of you are facing health issues. I know some are facing financial issues. I know some of you are going through relational issues right now. What during these difficult moments will be the anchor of your soul? That when all hell is breaking loose, you can say, he is the anchor of my soul. He is my strength. He is my salvation. He is my refuge today. He is the anchor for me. What will get us through? The peace that Jesus gives, you got to understand, it's the real deal. The peace that Jesus gives is not fragile, and it's not based on your circumstances.
You can have the best circumstances in the world and still be desperate for peace. Jesus gives us that today. It's not temporary. The peace of Jesus isn't coming and going. It's there. It's there. It's anchored to the Father. It's part of our identity, and it's built on the trust of God. He is our anchor today. And if I could just ask this question, it may come up later, but I feel like asking it now. If we really want the peace of God, how do we achieve it? Here's my question. Is the peace of God dependent on one thing? Our proximity to Jesus. Is it possible that we get so caught up in all the stuff we got to do and all the busyness of life that we're desperate for peace, but we're over there, and Jesus says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. Come to me. It's a proximity thing. It's coming into the presence of Jesus and saying, I can't do this apart from you. I need your peace today. The peace we are given is not self-improvement. Peace is the fruit of the Spirit, the King in us. It's not self-improvement, if you will, it's Spirit improvement. And the Spirit of peace that resides and rests in us, it grows as Christ lives in us, as we yield to the Spirit's leading, as we pray, as Jesus prayed, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we learn to walk in step, not ahead. A lot of us are a little guilty of walking faster than the Spirit, maybe learning to slow down. Thankfully, the Spirit heeds and slows and brings us to that place where we can hear his voice. Thankfully, peace is not only reserved for the emotionally strong or the naturally calm person. I can't stand those people. That no matter what's happening, they're calm. I want to say, don't you realize what's happening here? No, they're perfectly calm. Shame on them. No, peace is for the rest of us who deal with life, and sometimes we get emotional about it. It's peace is for us too. Peace is for those who choose daily to walk by faith, to have Jesus as the anchor of their soul, to be led by the Spirit. Last thing I would say that I would love for us to walk away from would be this thought, that peace will be fully realized when the King returns. Peace will be fully realized when the King returns. Remember what Advent, the very word Advent means. It means looking back to what Jesus accomplished as that baby in the manger, as that suffering servant. It goes back and it looks to all that Jesus accomplished, but then it also looks forward to the time when Jesus comes again. We live in that land in between. Between looking back and looking forward, that's where we're living. The peace that was secured by the first coming of Jesus, peace that will be completed at his second coming. The first Advent brought what? Brought forgiveness and reconciliation and access to God and the indwelling Holy Spirit. But the second Advent's also going to bring restoration to the whole earth until there's so that peace abounds to all of us. It's a peace that will never end. There'll be no more war, no more death, no more suffering. But his peace will continually increase. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7 said, of the increase of his peace, there will be no end. I mean, what that means is Jesus is coming again. He's not going to be that baby in the manger. He's not going to be the suffering servant, the one who died on the cross. He will be who he is, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's coming back. And then the Bible says his peace will continually increase. There'll be no more of that tension or that anxiety or that stress that so many deal with today. Peace is expanding, not shrinking, and it will not stop until the Bible says the whole earth is filled with it. Revelation 21, swords will be turned into plowshares, nations will stop warring, tears will be wiped away, wolves will lie down with the lambs, and death will die. That's what you have to look forward to today. Just so you know, the enemy of your soul wants to tell you that that anxiety and stress and all these things, that's the norm. I'm just here today to tell you, that's not the norm. If you've been called according to his purposes, if you declare the name of Jesus Christ, your DNA is not about stress and anxiety. It is being who he has called you to be, sons of the living God and daughters of the living God. And peace is your birthright. Nothing less than that. Let's quit listening to the lies for crying out loud. The enemy wants to tell you that peace is the outlier, that you only get it if you're really good and in this certain situation, but you are destined to live with the peace with anxiety and stress. That's baloney today. It's a theological term, baloney. Peace is your destiny. Peace is your hope today. We are moving toward peace, and when the King returns, we will experience peace like never before. bottom line on this whole section of what you need to know is peace comes because the King has come. And it's rooted in who he is, not what's happening around you. Your circumstances can be bad. They can be good. It's immaterial today. What you need to know that the enemy of your soul has lied to you. You are a person of peace today. And it's time to live like it. Well, here's the second thing. What do I need to feel? What do I need to feel? Now, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you that feelings lie. I mean, feelings lie. Sometimes I get caught up in feelings and they're wrong and I get caught up in the lie. How about you? But that said, we are an emotional people. We are made in the image of God. And I got to tell you, I think you know, the Bible tells us Jesus wept. And I think Jesus had a good time hanging out with the disciples. I think he laughed from time to time. I think there are moments where because God has emotions, we have emotions. We're the Imago Dei, the image of God. I was at lunch the other day with some men who have been friends of mine for many, many, many years. And I was just sitting in that familiar restaurant and I was eating lunch with these guys. And, you know, there were a couple times I tried to talk and I couldn't because I started tearing up because these guys have meant so much to me through my experience here at Calvary. And they mean a lot to me. Well, there's nothing wrong with those feelings. We are an emotional people. And I tell you that because I don't want you to run from emotion today. I don't want you to run from emotion. In fact, let me give you real quickly some things before we turn the service in a different direction. For some of you, it would be great today if you could just feel the King's peace is for you. Pastor Ray, I'm not good enough. That's not what peace is about. Doesn't matter how good you are. You can't earn it, don't deserve it on your best day, but God loves you enough to give you peace. Feel the King's peace. Say, I'm not perfect, I'm not strong, I don't lead a trouble-free life. That's okay, no one does. But it's for you today. Secondly, feel safe under the King's rule. Now, I know some of us, we look at the word king or kingship, it's an archaic, it's a medieval word. For me, I love it. I love the fact that Jesus is my King. How about you? I love it that he's my King. He's my King. Feel safe under the King's rule. You know, too much of life is, we feel unsafe. We feel unsafe in relationships. We feel unsafe in certain situations. Life is unpredictable. Life changes quickly. People disappoint. Know this, that Jesus, the King, sees you and he knows you and he loves you today and the King desires peace for you to feel safe. For some, this is just for you. Feel your fears being quieted by his presence. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. My peace I give to you. Some of you need to say this. I will not fear, for you are with me. I will not fear, for you are with me. For some, we got to get our heads on straight. We got to understand the difference between worldly peace and Christ's peace today. Worldly or cultural peace depends on silence and control, stability, avoidance, and comfort. None of that with Christ. Christ's peace is dependent upon Christ. Christ's peace is ours because the Bible says he is our peace. And just so you know, it's not fragile, it's durable. The peace of Christ is durable and it's resilient and it's unexplainable and dare I say it's supernatural today. It's the peace that the Bible says the world cannot give. Because it cannot possibly. Feel the tenderness today of your King. Feel the tenderness of your King. I'm thinking in my Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and he leads me. He refreshes my soul, and he guides me, and I will fear no evil, for he is with me. I don't have to be afraid. For some of you, feel the invitation to slow down enough to breathe, to rest. And breathe. The Bible said, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Come all who are weary and overly burdened today and he will give us rest. He will give us rest. Someone here today needs to find some rest. My best counsel to some of you would be just take a deep breath. Three of them. Go crazy. Breathe. And rest. You know, right before the service, I just sat down out there. My back was struggling a bit and I just sat down and I just found that moment in the busyness of everybody running in and out. I, I just found that moment of rest, and some of you in this moment need to find a moment of rest. Feel the invitation to rest and breathe. And lastly, I would say this, feel the hope that one day your peace will be complete. One day, baby in the manger, suffering servant, comes back as to who his real identity is, King of Kings. And the Bible says when he comes on the scene, he will be so bright, we don't even need the physical sun anymore because the light of Christ shines so brightly and peace will come. Jesus comes and Jesus wins. Today, my prayer for you this Christmas, the greatest, I'm not done. The greatest gift I could give some of you would be to do what we're about to do. Now, we've already established. Thank you so much. Some of you are already wondering, especially if you're a guest here, what's he about to do? We've already established we're a people that don't like, let's see, what have we covered so far? We don't like standing. We don't like holding hands, we hate praying together. And Lord forbid we would come forward and be honest about our needs. Okay, here's the good news. We're not going to do any of that today. That said, you know, it's amazing. There's so many of you I don't know anymore. And yet I know you. Because the chances are, you're much like the people I have seen come through these doors for 38 years. You and I both, we carry all this baggage, we carry all this stuff. Some things you'll tell other people, some things you won't. They're so intensely personal and private, maybe hurtful, that you carry them deep down where no one can see. And these things that we carry don't lend themselves to peace. They lend themselves to struggle and stress and anxiety, fear of being found out. Some of us in this room are desperate for peace today. Say, Ray, you don't know me. No, I know, but I know that you have a desperation inside you for peace. And I thought rather than me keep talking, what we could do is we could stop for a little bit. And I've asked Taylor and I've asked Mariah. Many of you know Mariah, she's on our worship team. She is my greatest pupil. I've taught her to sing. It's a running joke, at least for me. But I just thought we could just sit. And I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than maybe this, if you want. You don't have to. But sometimes I think we need to take a posture. That's why we do ask you to stand or come forward. Sometimes you just need to take a posture of yielding and surrender. And maybe today, if you maybe just took your hands and you just put them in your lap, just like this, and just said, I'm desperate for peace today, God. Would you do that with me? Would you just, it's okay if you don't. There's no pressure here. Jesus, we need you. We need you to come into our moment right here and now. For some, they are at peace, and we give you thanks for that. May they sit in a spirit of gratitude, just being thankful for everything you've done on their behalf, that you are their peace. Oh, but others need to breathe. They need to feel safe once again. They need to know that if there was no one else, you would come to be their peace. In the midst of storms, in the midst of fears, in the midst of all the things, the circumstances that overwhelm, in the midst of that right now, be our peace. Give us open hearts and minds to hear your voice in this moment. We pray against the enemy that would come in and make us think about football games and where we're going to eat and all those things. But to dwell in your presence is the greatest gift.
Just listen to Mariah lead us in this and let the Lord have his way in your heart today. Let's sing it together. And
I'm desperate for you.
We're desperate for you. We're lost without you. We have no peace apart from you. Holy Spirit, seal this moment in us to be people of peace. In your name we pray. Amen. Don't anyone move. I'm not done. Thank you, Mariah. You can move. So we've talked about what do we need to know, what do we need to feel, but what do I need to do? What do I need to practice in my life? Real quickly, first one might be this, learning to live with a different center. A different center. I don't know why I thought of this. I found a Tootsie Pop in my car. You know, the suckers, is that what they're called, Tootsie Pop? And I pulled it out. It was cherry, I don't really like it, but I ate it anyway. And there was, I don't know if it was the commercials or what, but I just gotta get to the center. Don't lie to me and tell me you've licked it all the way through. You just like me. You know, friends, on a much larger scale, we need that same intensity of getting Jesus to be the center. Getting to Jesus as the center. Every day there's going to be something that wants to be the center of our lives. It can be the news, it can be family issues, it can be at the office, it can be health, it can be politics, it can be expectations about the future. I was in Barnes & Noble and there's this book over there in the, I think it's the health section or the whatever, and there's a picture and it says, eat this, not that. Have you ever seen stuff like that? Eat this, not that. More often than not, I've been eating that. But in the mornings, choose Jesus in the morning, not that. During the day, choose Jesus, not that. And when tensions and struggles and all the things begin to cause something to go up inside you, the tension level, choose Jesus and not that. Let Jesus be the center. Friends, at some point, you hear us talk about it all the times, but we have to guard our minds. We have to guard the inputs that come in. Nothing steals our sense of peace faster than the noise of the world. And there's a lot of noise out there, isn't there? You know, my prayer for you today would be, it would be for us to learn to recognize the noise of the world. Number three, I would say trade anxiety for prayer. Trade anxiety for prayer. The Bible said, don't be anxious about anything, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. Let every anxious thought be an invitation to prayer, not worry. And I know that's hard. Really, I do. I know that's hard because it's hard for me. Thoughts, most of us, we let a thought get in our head and we can't get it out. How many know what I'm talking about today? And by the time we're done with that thought, it's much bigger than it used to be. And it doesn't even have to be true. That's the crazy thing. It doesn't have to be true, but that's what's captivated our hearts and our minds. Can I encourage some of you in this room today, refuse to carry what isn't yours. Hey friends, you can't control the behavior of other people. Is that okay to say? You just can't. And you're not built to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. There was only one, and his name was Jesus. I think at some point, we got to determine what we should be carrying and what Jesus should carry. And then give it to him. Ask yourself, is this mine to carry or is it his? Walk in step with the Spirit. This is one sometimes where I almost have to say, don't do what I do what I say. Because sometimes I don't mean to, but I get ahead of the Spirit. How, anyone? And what I hear the Spirit saying to me is, hey, cool your jets, slow down. Life can be better when we walk in the Spirit and not ahead of him. When we pray that prayer, as the Spirit gives us leading, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And choose to walk in the Spirit.
Now, I need some of you to really listen to this one. Pursue relational peace, not relational victory. Some of us in this room, we look at every relationship as we have to win. How many know that's not really healthy for relationships? It's just dumb. Pastor Ray, I have to win that argument because if I win that argument, they'll come to Jesus. Yeah, that doesn't work. The world doesn't believe, honestly, the world would want to say to some of us in this room, stop arguing with me and just love me. Just love me. And quit pretending everything's all right. You know, there's that fraudulent thought out there that it's called health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Lord, love them. Sometimes even fun to be around. But that's just not right. The bottom line is, peace comes in the storm. And I've had enough of them, and you've had enough of them to realize that's a bunch of baloney. It's in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our wounds and our hurts, that Jesus comes. He is my peace in the midst of the storm. The world thinks we're crazy to pretend it's otherwise. Last thing I would say is this. Let's live like heaven is certain, that our hope is secure in Christ. That our hope, that our peace is secure in Christ, that God reigns, the King has come and is coming again. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. Now listen, some of you, you came for the kids' thing and you actually stayed. Thank you. If you're a guest here today, say, well, Pastor Ray, how do I get some of this peace? Only one way, and I hate to sound so whatever. Only one way, and his name is Jesus. And if you're looking for hope and peace today, it's found in Jesus. And you just need to be honest and say, I need Jesus today. I need him. I need him to be my hope, my peace, my salvation. And if you're here and you never prayed that prayer, you can before we sing. Lord Jesus, here I am. And I got to be honest with you. I've tried to live my own life, done my own thing. And all it's led to is brokenness, woundedness, and sin. I ask your forgiveness today. And I want what Pastor Ray's talking about. I want some peace today. Peace that's only found in you. So Lord, come into this room and do what only you can do. Redeem and save. Restore. Give us peace today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Stand with us. Let's worship the Lord together.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.